Welcome to another episode of the Hashtag MoLedge podcast. This is Rachel Herndon Dunn. I'm editor of the Missouri Times, and I'm here with Alicia. Sure. She's a rock star reporter here at the Missouri Times. And right off the top, let's talk about the top five stories of last week. So a repeat is number one. Munslinger urges voters against Amendment 3, citing concerns of eminent domain violations. And we talked about it last week. Like, if you really want to get farmers... if you want to really hurt that farmer's vote, just throw up the words eminent domain. But Amendment 3 is Brad Bradshaw's amendment. There's been a lot of efforts from the three medical marijuana ballot initiatives to differentiate themselves because... whoever wins the most votes wins.
Yes.
Right? So Amendment 2 has been doing...
well, the most yes votes.
Yes. Let's be clear. Yes. Most yes votes. Amendment 2 has been doing standout job, making themselves stand out. They actually had a rally in Kansas City on Saturday. Let's see what else. So...
what surprised me about, like, this actually plays into... another of the top five stories is that Amendment 2 is, like, very much, I get emails from them, like, very much updated on what's happening.
And yet, very organized campaign.
And yet they have not spent the most money on their campaign. That was actually Find the Cures with Brad Bradshaw funding the majority of that. And I haven't seen a lot from them.
Right. So I will say it's not always the person or the campaign with the most money. It's how you spend the money you have and what team you have in place. And it's not in the top five stories, but another one related to this was the Catholic bishops of Missouri came out opposing Amendment 3 because of all the research uncertainty and what the parameters on that
because there were no parameters put on it, and it was a constitutional amendment with no parameters, so no one could put limitations on it.
So that leaves a lot of questions to be answered. Maybe we'll get some answers.
And
we got a couple weeks.
Then a couple other organizations this last week came out. Like, one questioned all the measures and...
what's that?
Then... I will not get the acronym right. It's the NCACA?
Yeah. The Great Group out of St. Louis.
Yes.
And they had a lot of questions about all of them, but specifically oppose Amendment 3, right?
They just urged people to read them very, very closely. And their kind of concern was putting it in the Constitution.
It's a big deal to put something in the Constitution. Speaking of things in the Constitution, number two story of last week was an opinion piece, which isn't the most extraordinary thing to see, because a lot of times put up the opinions, people blast them on social media, love that. But it was Clean Missouri is a lemon of a deal. It was Blake Hurst, right? President of the Farm Bureau. The Farm Bureau has come out against Amendment 1, which is the ethics reform measure. Clean Missouri is the campaign supporting it.
Missourians First is the campaign opposing it.
Yes. And now they've got the Farm Bureau on their side. And I will say I would not want to go up against the Farm Bureau. But then the Farm Bureau came out with an ad this weekend opposing Amendment 1, right?
Yes. And the farm girl in me very much appreciated the ad.
He was shoveling excrement in the video.
Yes.
But Clean Missouri also went to TV last week.
They did.
So it'll be interesting. I'm presuming some polling will come out about the amendments in the coming weeks. Number three last week, what we learned, October 2018 quarterly reports. So last Monday was the close of the financial reporting quarter. Well, that's when the reports were released, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
The quarter actually ended September 30th.
Yes. So the reports were all released on October 15th. And Alicia, again, really put me to shame on how well she organized this data. So what were some of your takeaways on the reports? just over 2 weeks out.
Basically, my first takeaway was the U.S. Senate race is expensive.
Yeah, so you were telling me that Missouri is now the most expensive campaign in the country, right? We're at $57 million spent.
That's just in that race. Of outside spending in the race. Outside that spending. Doesn't even include what the candidates are spending.
Right.
And in terms of candidates, McCaskill has poured $17.5 million in spending, where Hawley's so far compared at $2.9 million.
Interesting.
But Hawley's also raised less than McCaskill.
That's pretty interesting, because just this morning, the DSCC, the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee out of D.C., released polling numbers that Hawley's at 48, McCaskill's at 47, right?
Yes.
One point difference.
I will say more of the outside spending has been spent against McCaskill than against Hawley.
Yeah. My mailbox will prove that.
There's been $30 million spent against McCaskill and only $21 million spent against Hawley from outside spending.
There's so much money. And we'll go back to the Missouri U.S. Senate race in a little bit whenever we talk about the top stories of the week.
Yeah. Ballot measures. What really impressed me is SaferMo.com has done a great job of fundraising in a very short amount of time. They brought in a little more than $2.4 million in 3 months.
That's a lot of money. And there's a lot of different industries that have an interest in improving Missouri's roads, which makes sense. I will say, you and I, we went to Kansas City and St. Joseph stops for the governor's Prop D campaign tour last week. Yes. I think he wrapped up that tour in Hannibal and St. Louis over the weekend. That was pretty impressive. And to be fair, we went to the event in North Kansas City and they literally had cheerleaders.
They did.
Which is really cute.
See, what I liked about that, it was interesting the mix of people that showed up for the event. Because you had laborers, people still in their work clothes, jeans, t-shirts. And then you also had people in suits and every end of the spectrum you can imagine.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's a very well-coordinated campaign.
Yes.
Which makes sense. So, Safer Mo, lots of money.
Jobs with Justice, which is
the minimum wage campaign.
Yes, they brought in some money, but they also spent quite a bit. And,
interesting.
And what I did realize is there is actually a committee that is formed to oppose all three medical marijuana measures.
Interesting. Who's that?
Citizens for Safe Medicine. But they filed a limited activity report.
Well, okay. Anyway, so Alicia did a great job with the October 2018 quarterly reports. They're individually posted in organizable charts. And she has a What We Learned October 2018 quarterly report story that I encourage you to go read. A lot of great impressions. So the fourth most read story, we think, is a fluke, but Ardini sworn in as judge calls for protection of Missouri nonpartisan court plan. So we're presuming this story peaked out of nowhere because Ardini is on the ballot in his district in a couple weeks. This story is a year old, literally.
Nearly a year old.
Yeah. Anyway, so Ted Ardini, formerly of the Governor Nixon's office, currently a judge, currently up for reapproval. Fifth most read story. We're actually going to do the top six because Ardini just kind of threw me through a loop there. Director Karsten named Jones Walker to top post at the Department of Public Safety. So Missouri Department of Public Safety Director Sandra Karsten put Kenny Jones as deputy director.
Yes.
So Kenny Jones will replace Greg Favre as deputy director for DPS.
Ron Walker is going to be the director of the State Emergency Management Agency.
SEMA. And the number six most read story of last week, McDowell rolls out Every Dollar Works platform. So this is one of the first like hard policy proposals that the Republican candidate for state auditor has rolled out. And basically the plan is to audit the auditor's office, right?
Yeah, that's what she said was her first step. And she wants to make sure that the watchdog agency is using taxpayer dollars wisely and efficiently. She also says she wants to return the office to honesty and transparency, expand the auditor's jurisdiction, and then audit all government funds and the state agencies and officials. She notes that there's roughly 1,000 different funds that are not currently audited.
Wow. You know, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money.
Yes.
Anyway, so there's your top six stories of last week. Top stories to look forward to this week. Word on the street is that House Speaker Todd Richardson will be tapped to lead Missouri's Medicaid program. There will be an official announcement this afternoon. That's what we're hearing on Twitter, and that's something we've been hearing on the rumor mill for a while. That is a challenging and taxing position for anyone to be in. One in six Missourians is on Medicaid and uses MoHealthNet in some way, shape, or form.
And when I was talking to Representative Jean Evans last week, she pointed out that roughly 50% of the babies born in Missouri are Medicaid babies.
That's so interesting to me.
Yes.
Huh. Anyway, so Alicia will have a story on that this afternoon whenever it is officially announced. We'll have more details about that then. Another top story for this week, something we'll be watching and something I think I'm going to write up today, is a story about Amendment 1. There were some rumors last week that the St. Louis County NAACP was supporting it, opposing it, was hearing it from both sides. Turns out they are neutral on it, so I will be writing that up today. Amendment 1 has definitely garnered a lot of attention, and I presume that will continue the next few weeks. There's an opinion piece that we put up this morning, from the Farm Bureau.
Yes, the Farm Bureau has been very, very active in letting people know their opinion on this amendment. The advertisement that they released over the weekend garnered a ton of views online.
A ton of views, she says.
I can look up the exact numbers, but it was impressive for an advertisement.
It was a social media ad, right?
Yes.
And they promoted it.
It was a video that they posted on Facebook.
Right on.
And
of course, Clean Missouri, again, they launched their first ad. It's on television. I think they're on radio too. This will continue to be a subject that everyone is watching.
They gained 14,000 views on this video.
14,000. So we'll see what kind of impression that has up against Clean Missouri being on traditional TV.
Yeah, Clean Missouri launched their first and of course, TV like, ad last
Clean
week.
Clean Missouri is all over social media. They are all over
my inbox.
Yeah, yeah. That is an aggressive and well-organized campaign. Speaking of aggressive and well-organized campaign, the third story we're watching this week, we are just a couple weeks out from the election day, and this past weekend was insane for Missouri U.S. Senate news.
Yes, there's so much came out about this. Last week was the Project Veritas videos, which kind of gained some steam throughout the week.
Yeah, and the Project Veritas videos ended up with Senator McCaskill calling on the Attorney General's office to investigate it.
Yeah.
Because of fraud. So because that's of fraud, interesting.
And then the intern had access
to the campaign voter databases. Well,
the way she's talked about it in a press conference was that they don't know what the intern was doing on their computers for over 20 hours.
Interesting.
They know a portion of that was spent in the voter databases.
I will say, as someone who's previously worked on campaigns, I can't imagine an intern having access to a campaign's voter records. And to be clear, this is not the Secretary of State's voter records. This is not any official state or government records in any way, shape, or form. This is a database that campaigns nurture and develop for their use. There seems to be some confusion on that from some of our readers on Facebook. I will say, if you are a Missouri Times subscriber, I encourage you to go look at your Whispering Gallery, because I ended up making a list of a ton of the stories from this last weekend.
Yes.
And it's insane. I'm going to pull that up. But there were allegations against Senator McCaskill's husband from before they were married, against his ex-wife. Holly used a lobbyist private plane, which is definitely not an uncommon thing in practices.
No.
But Holly attacked McCaskill for using a private plane during her campaign. And of course, the New York Times and the Post-Dispatch both wrote up stories about whether the Attorney General's office has been a little bit disheveled under the Attorney General's leadership.
The thing that caught my eye from the New York Times one was talking about the civil litigation office and settlements that the Missouri taxpayer is going to have to front. And it was attorneys from the other side being like, well, we had to, like, they switched people 3 times and things just got lost in the translation. And
I will say those stories are always interesting, but it's worth taking with a grain of salt, because people who are happy with the transition and people who are happy in that office and the changes that have been made aren't going to go on record. It's going to be people who are irritated at either switching jobs or their job itself changing and ultimately leaving, because no one who works as a lawyer, especially at the Attorney General's office, is going to talk to the press about their day-to-day operations.
Unless they're disgruntled.
So there's a lot, like, there's a ton of stories, like the McCaskill's husband story is from the Daily Caller. I did not see whether or not McCaskill had responded to that. But it's also, it's kind of hard to swallow. The Daily Caller headline is Claire McCaskill's husband accused of hitting, tripping, and peeing on ex-wife. And that's rough.
Yes.
But it's not something I like sharing, but it's weird because, like, as an editor, it's out there, and not telling our readers would basically be negligent on my part. Because it is a big story, and it is a big deal.
The one thing I question about the Daily Caller, and it's from actually them writing up the judge's ruling on the Missouri ID law, is Missouri voter ID law, is they weren't exactly accurate to what the judge stated.
And I mean, to be fair, whenever you've got national reporters reporting on something that we read about every day, you can't expect them to be right whenever they're not doing this every day. Like, but this story was based on a police report. And we haven't seen that police report, to be fair.
No, they did attach one of the police reports to the story.
But not the one with these
details. Outrageous allegations.
And to be fair, they are extreme and probably would be inappropriate to include.
They did include the police report where he allegedly grabbed her arm. And I've seen that one was reported by Fox News, too.
Right. And this is something that has been known. And it was something that Senator McCaskill had responded to previously, right?
Because
I'm pretty sure she said something along the lines of, this is private and disgusting. And I think his ex-wife also said, like, hey, this is private. This is not news. This wasn't intended to be news.
Yeah.
But that was months ago.
I would like to see the other report.
It would be... I mean, we can sunshine that. I'm sure we can just ask nicely and it would be provided to us, like most things like that. So the St. Louis Today and New York Times write-ups of the Attorney General's office are both in the Whispering Gallery this morning. They are good reads, but like I said, your sources on that are mostly going to be biased and disgruntled. And it's always hard for me to take stories like that seriously.
Yeah, one of the stories, I kind of questioned some of the relevance of the information because they're like, well, 80 people have left this year, and then it was the year before, it was 79.
There's always turnover.
Under Koster, it was like 79.
Yeah, there's always turnover, especially after administration change. There's always turnover at the Attorney General's office, period.
Yeah.
Another story that I think it broke on Friday, right, Alicia? Like, I feel like we...
Yes.
So there's a PAC. It's called Black Americans for the President's Agenda. And they have released an ad in Arkansas, Missouri, and I feel like another state. Washington Post ended up picking it up. We saw it when it was just on a blog, right?
Yeah.
And so WAPO picked it up. The title is PAC Won't End Ad Saying Black Men Will Face Rape Accusations. Which is definitely not a title that I ever would have... thought would be on a story.
Two people in the ad that are featured saying white Democrats be lynching black folk again.
So that's something else. And to be clear, the Holly campaign did not pay for this. I'm presuming did not coordinate to make this ad happen. But the ad does favor Republican Josh Hawley. And it's all about the Kavanaugh hearings.
Yes.
Like, I would encourage you to go
Kelly
read that
Ford
article.
Said in a statement, of course we don't support this.
Yeah. I would encourage you to go read that article. It is interesting. That ad is still up. Yeah. Not really something that is comfortable dinner table or podcast discussion, but it is relevant. It is out there. It is important to know about. So next story, Politico, Air Wars, Hawley flies on lobbyist plane after blasting McCaskill. So not out of left field, but it does make him look like a hypocrite.
I think that was the entire point of the story was, hey, he blasted McCaskill for taking a private plane between two stops.
Yeah. I mean, you know, didn't have an RV in tow as well. I will say
this
that.
This is true.
And he did upfront report it. But right on the tails of that, the Southeast Missourian out of Cape Girardeau has endorsed Josh Hawley. So there's some good press for him and some more clean press. On Friday, you attended an event in Columbia because I am the meanest editor in the world and sent you to Columbia, Missouri the Friday before homecoming.
Yes.
But she had an event in Columbia. It was open to the press. I don't think you've been able to attend an open to the press McCaskill event, right?
This is the first event in Missouri, in Columbia, that I attended.
And she's having another one tomorrow, Tuesday.
Yes. And then she also went to the Mizzou game on Saturday.
And so did Hawley.
Yes. They both walked in the parade.
Yes.
Mizzou
always has a great homecoming parade. And I will admit bias on that one, but...
I avoided Columbia on Saturday.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Great idea.
It was busy enough on Friday evening that I might be scarred. But the event was interesting. It was kind of in a smaller room, so there was only roughly a little over 50 people, but there were people standing out in the hallway, and she basically spent most of the time just talking about healthcare.
I mean, that makes sense. I keep hearing that healthcare is the number one issue this election. She keeps hammering the attorney general on the Obamacare lawsuit that he brought Missouri to. And that pre-existing conditions resonates with voters. And obviously, we will see how that plays
out. And it resonates with her personally. She was telling the story of her dad getting brain cancer.
And I mean, to be fair, you can take that same argument to Hawley because of his kid. And of course, all of this news is just since their debate last week.
Yes.
So what do you think? Do you think you're going to start a This Week in Missouri's U.S. Senate Race
article? There's definitely enough news to do something like that.
It's something Alicia and I keep talking about because it is hard to keep up with.
It's hard to keep up with everything as it's happening because all those stories happened over a 3-day period.
Yeah.
And wasn't even everything.
Yeah. And like I like to say, if you can't break it, at least curate it. Because if you've got multiple journalism professionals having a difficult time keeping up with everything that's going on, I can't imagine how the average voter is feeling. And it's so hard to see the big picture of everything that's going on.
Yeah.
So if that's something you would love to see, you should send Alicia strawberries or raspberries. We've got some bits before we wrap up this episode. So Governor Parson wrapped up his Prop D tour. I was very impressed by the governor and his speeches on the trail. Had a lot of support. It was so nice to see a governor that was comfortable talking to literally everyone in the room.
Yes.
I will say this week the governor will be signing HB2 on Wednesday. He will have stops in Liberty and Springfield having ceremonies for that. HB2 is the treatment course bill from special session.
Yes.
So former Governor Matt Blunt will be receiving a bronze bear from Missouri State University. He is part of the reason that Missouri State is no longer Southwest Missouri State. They are just Missouri State now. So that's a big deal. The Bronze Bear recipients are all very prestigious. This is a lovely award and recognition for the former governor. Another bit, because these are all over the place. But Al Watkins has been ordered to do community service, which will most likely be legal presentations for violating a court order in the Greitens case. He apologized to the court and will be doing 100 hours of this community service. Last week was a big week for awards. Missouri Municipal League presented Senator Jill Shoup with the 2018 Missouri Municipal League Distinguished Service Award. The Missouri Citizens for the Arts also recognized Senators Hoskins and Holzman for their support of the arts. There's a story up online about that. That was an awesome event. Speaking of recognition, and this might be something Alicia loves or does not love, I don't know. The actor who played Samwise Gamgee in Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, Frodo's best friend, in case you don't know who I'm talking about.
I think everyone knows who you're talking about.
See, that's not true. My husband hasn't watched Lord of the Rings. He thinks it's a very boring trilogy about a very long walk. And,
he's wrong.
He's wrong.
anyway. He's just wrong.
His name's Sean Astin. He does not live in Missouri. He has not been involved in Missouri politics, but he has endorsed Renee Hoganson, who is running against Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler in Congressional District 4. Spire, the natural gas company in Missouri, will be sending 26 team leaders to restore natural gas service to the 8,600 customers in Massachusetts. If you recall, very recently, there was a large gas explosion near Boston that left apparently at least 8,600 people without natural gas power. And that would be completely frightening to me. Mizzou won their homecoming game. For some reason, Google says that Mizzou won the game 0-65, but I have been informed that it was not the blowout that I've thought it has been for the last 18 hours. That the score was actually 65-33. But Mizzou did win, so good for them. Last few weeks have been rough, pretty rough schedule. Charlie Dooley, the former St. Louis County executive, has come out in support of Amendment 1, Clean Missouri. And on Sunday, yesterday, SD34 candidates Tony Lukemeyer and Martin Rucker debated. And that is an interesting race because that is two amazing candidates. They're both very well-spoken. They're both young guys. They're under 40. They both have just a lot of passion, a lot of competency. It'll be interesting to see how that race goes. I believe Lukemeyer is pulling up, but there's still a lot of people who think there's going to be a blue wave, but those thunders have died down. Nonetheless, the Rucker campaign seems confident, Lukemeyer campaign seems confident, and we will continue to watch. I would encourage you to go watch that episode because it was... it was cool. And on the heel of that, Rucker has released his first ad. He says he's fighting for change and that Jefferson City has some corruption issues. Anyway, go ahead and go to the MissouriTimes.com. We've got some opinion pieces up from the ACLU, the Farm Bureau, Jeff Rorta, and more. Alicia apparently will be writing up a This Week in the Senate Race story. She's also going to be writing up the new Medicaid director story whenever that breaks this afternoon. We also have a report coming on a House candidate who was previously in the news. And most importantly, this week, look for a new tip sheet coming from the Missouri Times. We have new updated financial numbers, obviously, from Alicia's work last week. Thank you for that. And we'll see how things rank and break down, because things have definitely changed over the last few weeks. It's kind of amazing.
Things change quickly.
Yes. Yep, and that's all we have to say about that. Nonetheless, thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Hashtag Millage Podcast. We will be sure to be even less organized next week, because it is just... we are just swimming in information from everywhere. It is that time of year again. Yep. So thank you for somehow making it through all the information that we are currently sorting through. Otherwise, we will keep you updated. Keep your eyes out for those whispering galleries in the morning if you are a subscriber. If you're not, you probably should become one. Otherwise, I will talk to you on the next Hashtag MoLedge podcast. Thank you for listening.